Thank you for joining us this morning for the Central Message, brought to you by Central Park Church of Christ in Tilton, where we are transformed by Christ to transform our world. If you would like to listen to this message again or previous messages, as well as the Central Minutes, you can listen to them on our website, www.centralparkchurchofchrist.org. And now, the Central Message.
Good morning, church. Hey, it's great to be with you again today. I have a few announcements before I get started with the sermon portion of this message today. First and foremost, happy Father's Day. Hey, I know that it's Father's Day today, and so take a moment and just say thank you and to your fathers, you know, for those who are still have their fathers with them, count that as a blessing. Also for those who have lost their fathers, you know, in past years, just think of their lessons, think of their life and what they meant to you and how much of a blessing they were to you, lift them up today and be thinking about them and encourage your fathers today. You know, like I said, it is Father's Day, so I hope and pray that you enjoy this day together and you remember our ultimate Father in heaven and how much He loves you. You know, we've had a couple questions about this week, about when we're going to be back in church. And originally we thought somewhere around the end of June. We're actually going to move that back to July 12th. And there's reasons for that with some of the increases of COVID cases and different things. But July 12th is going to be our target date now. One of the things Dustin and I are going to be doing is sending out a letter that the elders and myself and Dustin have signed just as a way of kind of keeping you up to date about what's going on and some of the reasons why we chose to do what we did. And so we'll be looking for that. We'll send that out on a hard copy, and then we'll copy and paste that to the Facebook so you can read that as well. But we're going to be in Psalm 27 this morning, and particularly verses 4 and 5. And 4 and 5 really speak to me in volumes because it talks about, you know, David saying, I want to gaze upon the beauty of God. I want to project that presence. I want to be able to inquire of God and speak with God on a personal level. And so, you know, I appreciate David's language in this text. Just to give you some background on my life, quite a few years ago, this might be too real or too honest for you, but I think the church needs to be a safe place. I think the church needs to be a place where we can be real with each other and talk about real things that happen to us. Ministers are not perfect. Ministers make mistakes all the time, and I sin just like everyone else. And a few years ago, I began on this journey of almost losing my faith, and it was a very real experience that happened in my life. Church can be a tough place, and I felt beat up by the church. I felt lost. I felt disheartened, and due to the actions of many and the actions of my own self, particularly myself, I felt like it was time for me to take a back seat to church and to my faith for a while. But over time and through that season of time, I've been working slowly and picking myself up again and studying again and preaching again and teaching again. But during that time, I didn't feel safe. I didn't feel like I was secure. And it took me a long time to get over or at least through that season of my life. And that got me to thinking about this text with David and some of his journey in his life. You know, David wanted to put safety first. David wanted to put his faith first. But yet, I think even David, if he lived today in the times of the church and certainly living in the times of the temple that David did, I think he would also agree that and make the statement that the church can hurt or the church can heal. The church can destroy or the church can restore. And what got me started on that journey of restoration and healing and finding that comfort again was a church that welcomed my family and I in that season of hurt and that season of pain, and the church pastor who said, "You know what? Come as you are and be who you are and be authentic." And I was able to be open and honest with a lot of the things that I was going through in my life and a lot of the things that I was facing. And I found healing and comfort and strength through that. And I think churches could be that kind of a place where people can find that safety, people can find that comfort, that restoration. And David brings that out very clearly. But on the other side of that coin, and I'm sure you have your stories as well, the stories where you've been hurt by a church or by people, and you feel that hostility. And I felt it in a very real way. And it was all around us. And I don't think we're any different than any other country. I mean, if you look at all the way from across the globe, we're losing ground, if not already lost that ground. What we're losing is that sense of safety, that sense of being that place where people can come and be authentic and be themselves and just be real. I think we're losing that. And one of the desires of my heart, having gone through that season, and I'm sure you have as well, is to find a way to restore that sense of comfort and strength to the church. The culture in which we live is a very weird and strange place at times. It truly is. And I've wrestled with the ideas of two things particularly, just talking about safety. And we live in a culture that's developed safe zones, and they call them gun-free safe zones, or which I'm not sure how those are working out. But the other new addition that they've added here recently is an injection safe zone, a place where you can go and inject illegal narcotics. I don't understand that people feel that's a safe way to do that, or you're safe in these gun-free zones. I just don't understand some of those things. But when you consider that phrase, the safe zone, I think the church should be the ultimate safe zone for people. It should be a place where people can come and share their burdens and find comfort in others that have been there with them and gone through some of the things that they've gone through in similar ways. Over the past years, we've tried to tell the community that, Central Park is a place of love and a place of community and a place of fellowship, and it's a safe place. But I don't know if we need to make some changes and structurally look at, like Psalm 46, God is our refuge and our strength, and actually living that out every day. Maybe it's a community issue to where, Central Park is doing its thing, but the community isn't recognizing that as a safe zone. Maybe that's it. Maybe I'm seeing it kind of differently, but Psalm 46 brings out this struggle that God is our refuge, and in Him we can find safety, in Him we find strength, and in Him we find comfort. The church, being in the military, we always talked about friendly fire. We always talked about the possibility of that. And one of the things I think we do in the church is we kind of shoot our wounded sometimes. And I think we cause more harm. And they come in phrases like, my pastor doesn't do this, or my pastor does this. And a building, or my church isn't, all of these different phrases. And what we've done by saying phrases like that and things of that nature is that we've set it up as church versus church, and home versus home, friend versus friend, and brother versus brother. And I find that interesting in the sense that it should not be that way. We should find the opportunity to live in, like the Old Testament speaks about, a city of refuge. That's how Central Park should be, a place where it's safe, it's a comfort zone, it's a place of security. It's a place where you can air your grievances. It's a place where you can share your faith with those around you and unburden yourself. I think the church needs to be reminded of that city of refuge. I think the church should also be that place where someone who is hurt can come and find comfort, where no one is lost and all are saved. I see the church moving that direction, and so I'm blessed to be part of Central Park that understands that and understands, just like the church that helped me through that journey, that Central Park is helping people through some of the most difficult moments of their life. And this is a life and death matter, because it's about their faith. It's about their life in God. And what we do is we take and we minimize that often, and to our own detriment. You see, I think David is asking for something very specific from God in this text, in Psalm 27. I think David is saying, I want to see the perfectness of God's kingdom. Let me encourage you with just a few quick things today. Number one, I hope and pray that you're gazing upon the beauty of God. That in as you look at your faith and as you gaze upon what God has blessed you with and how He continues to bless you, that you are gazing upon that beauty. And let me ask you this question. Do you see God in all things? What about your church? What about your home? What about your relationships with your friends, your brother to brother? Do you see God in those? And are you recognizing those God moments of life? Secondly, I think we need to focus in on the beauty of Christ. And, it's not the skin-deep beauty of this world that we're so heavily ingrained in talking about today. This is something much deeper. This is the complete beauty of God. David says, I want to gaze upon that beauty. I want to reflect upon that. I want to be part of that. And I want to see that every day in my life. People, I get it. We're living in a world that is full of sin, and sometimes it's hard to see that beauty that God provides every day. But I want to challenge you just to, before you speak, before you act, before you do anything, just sit there and gaze upon the beauty of God, upon His creation, upon His wonder. You see, again, I think if we do that, we'll lose this skin-deep relationship that we're on, this surface level right now in our culture, and we'll focus in on the things that God deems important. Third, David says not only does he want to gaze on the beauty, that beauty, but he also wants to inquire. That actually means reflect, that he wants to reflect on this. Here's the problem, though. I think we are the church, and so we should love more and judge less. See, I'm on Facebook an awful lot. I'm guilty. I get on Facebook quite a bit, and we're posting everything on Facebook and YouTube, and so I get on there and I read these posts, and people are talking about our president, our leadership, all of this mess, and I mean they're putting on some vile things, even about law enforcement or Black Lives Matter. And I mean, we're in this season of everything is fair game for some reason. And instead of just sitting there gazing on the beauty of Christ and reflecting upon His love, His sacrifice for all of us, not just me, not just you, but the sins and the shame of a world on Jesus' shoulders. We're not reflecting on that anymore. We're losing sight of that for this little tawdry little mess over here instead of seeing the big picture. And I think that's what God is calling us to do in these moments, is to love more and judge less. You see, David's ultimate desire was to be a simple guest in the house of God. That's what David wanted to do. He wanted to sit in the very house, in the very presence of God Almighty, and gaze upon his beauty and reflect on his love for us. Last week I mentioned a song called Safe by Phil Wickham, and I've listened to that song over and over and over again. I'm actually going to either try and attach it to this message today, or I'm going to post a link down in the comment section for that song, because in today's terms, what does safe look like? What does safe in his arms mean? It means that when you surrender your life to Christ, when you lay down all of that sin and all of that burden, and you say, you know what, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know it. I've lived it for far too long. Please forgive me of my sins. Help me to turn away from all of those things that, you know, are sin in my life, sinful and full of shame. That's what that looks like. And you're asking God to come into your life and move you in a different direction. That's what David wanted. David wanted God to come into his life and move him so he could sit in the house of God and gaze upon his beauty. Do you see beauty in our world today? Do you see it? It's there. But unfortunately right now it's clouded by all of this stuff going on in our world. I'm not saying that stuff isn't important, but it's not the primary discussion that we should be having. It's secondary. You see, I think that if here's something that I've said several times before. If you remember when I first started at Central Park, one of the very first things I preached on was social justice. It was about reaching out into our community and looking more like our community as a church, and I preach that over and over and over again. I'm not so sure that churches have a leg to stand on in this argument. Yes, some of the changes that we're trying to make are way overdue and long past the time for us to make them. I get that. But one of the things that we need to be doing is focusing in on that social justice aspect. And maybe that's what they're trying to do in this relationship. I'm not really sure yet. I'm sitting back reserving judgment on all of these things going on today. And I'm saying, instead of focusing on those, let's focus in on what Jesus Christ wants us to do. You see, and just by focusing in on the very beauty of God and the blessings that he has provided for us. What does safe in church mean anymore? You know, we have to have security guards at church anymore. I don't understand it. It's part of our world. It is what it is. But what does safe mean? You see, to me in this context, safe literally means an opportunity for someone to come in, be comfortable and willing to be open about their life and their struggles and what they're facing. Finding that zone we call church safe, a safe place just to find trust, to find love, comfort, and to be that place where we can simply say, you know what, this is a place of healing and restoration. For Christians, what does safe mean? It means being in the very arms of Jesus Christ, understanding that he died for our sins, that he loved us so much that he bore the sin and the shame of a world upon his shoulders. That he took that from us if we just give it to him. What does worship look like in that safe zone? And that's part of where we are today. And, you know, like I said, we've moved our start date back to July 12th. And we'll be talking about that a little bit more as we go along. But I think for safe in worship, it means a place for us to express safely our emotions and finding others around us that are connected with us that have been there, that have been through this, and finding an opportunity to love on them, to love more and judge less. You see, I don't care what you've been through. I don't care the struggles that you've faced. I don't care how bad you think it is. It is never bad enough that Jesus Christ doesn't love you. You see, Christ loves you through all of this. Christ wants to be here for you, and he's waiting for you in that worship moment, wherever it's at, whether it's at church, at home, right here. All you have to do is talk to Jesus and say, you know what, God, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. You see, I like how David focuses on this, but in verse 5, he goes on and he says, for he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the day of trouble. We are at a point of no return. Unless we do something drastic and make some big changes, sweeping changes, we are in the day of trouble. That's what he's talking about. He's saying, safety is no longer afforded to me unless I am in the arms of God. Unless I'm with him in his presence, in his kingdom. And the only way to do that is through Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. He's saying, as you accept Christ, Christ moves you in and speaks on your behalf to God the Father. See, that's what this faith is all about. Finding a safe zone, finding a place where you can come and recognize that your life is in trouble. Maybe it's your faith like mine a long time ago that was close to me just walking away from the church and walking away from pastoring and walking away from teaching and just doing my own thing. That hurt and that pain, I'm not dismissing it. It is very real. And I understand that maybe you have been hurt by the church. And for that, I am truly sorry. Because I've been there, I've gone through it, and I've done my own hurting. Don't misunderstand me that I'm saying I'm innocent in this. I am not. I've caused a lot of that. And just by my own thought process and trying to go about it my own way. And so what I'm asking you to do is just sit for a moment and gaze upon the beauty of Christ and reflect upon his love for you. Will you do that today? Instead of being rushed to judgment, instead of rushing to think that you can solve everyone's problems, and I'm guilty of that. I get to that point where I feel like I have to solve everything. Instead of doing that, let's just sit down and reflect on what God has done for us and how he's moving us forward. I want to welcome you to the safety of the church. If you've asked Christ to forgive you today, just drop me a private message. If you need to be baptized or rededicate your life or maybe give your life to Christ for the very first time, welcome to the safe free zone of the church. Welcome to the safe free zone called Jesus Christ. And so I want you to know that his love for you is endless, that this is the safe zone of the church, the safe zone of our faith. And I hope and pray that you walk through this life, even in some of the darkest moments, and you can sit back and you can simply gaze upon his beauty and his love for you. May God bless you this week. I look forward to seeing you soon. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for the Psalm of David that challenges us just to sit in the grace and the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, the grace and the knowledge of God, ultimately, and reflect upon his beauty and gaze upon what he has done for us each and every day. That by us giving all of those burdens, those sins over to him, that he changes us and transforms us into something precious. And Father, thank you for that love that Jesus took to the cross, died a sinner's death, and was buried and resurrected on our behalf. Father, we truly were on his mind. Father, we thank you for the safety and the comfort of living in this faith together as the body of Christ, as the body called the church, and as brothers and sisters united in sharing the love of Christ together. It's in his name we pray. Amen. God bless you this week. Be looking for that letter that's going to be coming out in the mail here soon. We're still working on it. Just know that we're moving everything back to July 12th, and I look forward to being in the safe zone of church with you again soon. God bless you. Take care. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to our message today. If you have heard anything in this message that spoke to your heart, please don't let this moment pass. You can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This is an important decision, and I don't want an opportunity to pass for someone to come to God in need and to have all those needs met and sins forgiven. If you would like to accept Jesus into your heart today, you can do so right now. If you have chosen to follow Jesus today, it is important to be connected with fellow Christians in a real and personal way and to publicly profess your faith through baptism. If you don't have a church home, you are welcome to become part of the Central Park Church of Christ family. You may want to find a local congregation closer to your home. But whatever you do, find a place where you can learn and be spiritually nourished and where you can serve others. If you would like to speak to a minister, please contact the minister of your local church or call Central Park Church of Christ to speak to one of our ministers. Call the church office at 217-446-8947 and leave a message. Thank you for listening to the Central Message.